Brilliant. Well, if you want to turn to Judges, Old Testament, so that's Judges 13. Now, before Christmas and in the autumn, I was looking in the evenings at some of the kind of heroes of the Old Testament faith, people that we're taught about in Sunday school, and kind of just going over those stories and picking up fresh things, looking at them in slightly different ways, because sometimes we look at specifics and we just see those every time, and it's really to get a fresh view of some of these people. And today I thought we'd do Samson. And we all, if you've been in church, know who Samson is. We're not going to read the whole story now, all three chapters, four chapters, just about four chapters. But Samson was a guy, and he was one of the judges, and the judges were people that the Lord sent to deliver his people Israel from oppression. Oppression spiritually, from other gods and other things, but also physically as well, that God had promised them the land. And they were living in the land, and these judges were meant to come and bring release and freedom from God to his people. And Samson was one of the judges, and he was blessed with a particular thing, which was strength. That often the Holy Spirit would come upon him in strength, and he would have incredible strength. And one of the stories is that he pushes the pillars over. This is how he dies. He pushes the pillars over when the Philistines had captured him. And the temple, the courtyard where they were collapsed, and it killed, they think, about 1,100, over 1,100 people in it collapsing. But there was also a story where he visited a prostitute. And the Philistines had locked him in the city. And basically, he found out and escaped at night. But he didn't escape by jumping over the wall, going down on a rope, as other people have done. He decided to pick up the city gates. That's what you do. How are you going to break out? I'm going to take the gates with me. And city gates, not just wooden, but coated in metal, so that they were fire resistant in case of attack. So he took the gates. He took the posts and he took the bars and he carried them 38 miles, mostly uphill. I don't know why he carried them for 38 miles. He clearly had a lot of strength, but a lot less brain. Bless him. Don't know if I can say that, actually. I'm going to have a fight in heaven, aren't I? He's going to come and find me. That's it, yeah. Oh dear. So he was a guy that when the Lord came upon him, he had this incredible strength. And just like the other judges, he wasn't a typical guy. And all the judges seemed to have different characters, different abilities. But the particular thing about Samson that made him stand out, even among the judges, was the fact the Holy Spirit came upon him. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him and caused him to have incredible strength. But the other thing was that he was committed a lifelong vow as a Nazarite. And the Nazarite vow was a vow that Jews could make. It's in Numbers 6 if you want to read it later. And it was a vow of special dedication, a way of worshipping the Lord and committing yourself to the Lord for a special time and period. And during that time, the way you would show your dedication is in three ways. Number one, you wouldn't eat anything or drink anything of the vine. So you wouldn't have grapes, you wouldn't eat anything of the plant. So if you like Dalmatis, as if you know what Dalmatis are, they're those vine leaves wrapped, around rice and meat. Lovely stuff, Mediterranean food. You couldn't eat those, you couldn't eat the vine leaves, you couldn't eat the grapes, you couldn't drink wine made from it, any fermented wine. And you couldn't eat raisins as well. I don't know where the raisin bit came from, but that's in there as well. So you couldn't eat raisins. But that was the first part of the Nazarite vow. You couldn't do anything with the vine or fermented drink. Second part, you couldn't cut your hair. You weren't supposed to cut your hair. That was the physical sign to most people, was that obviously your hair would grow uncontrollably during that time. And the third thing was, you shouldn't touch anything that's dead. And if you broke any of these vows, there was a way of coming back into kind of relationship with God and commitment again. And you had to do certain sacrifices, shave your head, and then you'd start your dedication again, all the way from the beginning. So if you made it, you had to be sure that you were making it. But the thing with Samson was, he didn't make the vow. His mum did. And it was a vow that was meant to be made by the person, but God had called her to dedicate him as a Nazarite. And from birth, he was brought up as a Nazarite. His hair was uncut. He didn't or wasn't supposed to eat things of the vine and touch dead things. And Samson, as we see the story unfolds, he only takes one of these things seriously, which is that he didn't cut his hair with a razor. No razor touched his head until, obviously, he got caught when he gave the secret away to a woman called Delilah, who was being coerced by the Philistines to capturing him. And he gave it away and he got captured because she cut off his hair. And the other two aspects, there's question marks, really, because often throughout the story of Samson, he kills people and he kills things. And one story is that a lion rushes out at him when he's in the vineyards. Why is he in the vineyards? Nice place to walk, be tempted. But he's in the vineyards and this lion rushes out and with relative ease, he tears the lion apart, kills it. And later on, he comes back to this lion and scoops honey out of it to eat, which is actually possible for bees to live in a lion carcass, believe it or not, in the temperatures out there in Israel. But, you know, he went back and touched this decaying body. He also killed thousands of Philistines, but he only took the razor seriously. He didn't go and rededicate, but he just carried on. And Samson, like other judges, had character problems as well. He had real problems with relationships. It starts off with his parents, and this is chapter 14, verse 3, where he has a little discussion in verses 1 and 2 with his parents. He wants to marry this Philistine woman, now, which is a big no-no. You don't intermarry if you're a Jew, an Israelite. You don't do it, especially if you're meant to be someone freeing your people from the Philistines. It's kind of a backwards thing. And his parents say, you know, I don't think you should do this. I'm not sure about this. And he basically told them, no, I'm telling you what to do. And that was totally, you know, it was really bad. You never do that in that culture, in that society. You'd never disagree with your parents. You would listen to them. And that was the first thing. But also, he's got this history with his wife. And he goes to get married. And basically, she gives away, all these Philistines are trying to get money off him and they're making bets with him and he gives them a riddle and she tells them the answer to the riddle and it makes him furious to the point where the marriage isn't consecrated, but he still goes back and visits her, but he has this difficult relationship with this wife figure. He also, then chapter 16, verse 1, goes and sees a prostitute. That's the other thing. And then thirdly, obviously, he gets to know Delilah, who is a Philistine as well. And that didn't go too well either, as she tricked him into giving away the secret of his strength and power so he could be captured. But he's also quite a lonely guy. There's no reference to him seeing his own people, interestingly enough. The only people he really sees are his parents. There's no reference to him having relationship with others. And maybe he was a bit cut off. But Samson's purpose was to begin to save Israel from the Philistines. That was his task, to begin saving Israel from the Philistines. What a task. Imagine that. Thousands of people, the Philistines spread throughout the land, that area. They were actually more powerful and had dominated the land and dominated the people of Israel. And God sent him to save them. Now, the interesting thing is the author in the story doesn't really say much whether Samson did the right thing or the wrong thing. The author kind of leaves it as, what do you think about Samson? Invites us in to kind of say, was he good? Was he bad? To make our own judgments? Could it have been better? And there is that sense with the story of Samson. If only this man, the Spirit of God, came upon him in such an incredible way that he had this strength that no one could stop him, that he could carry city gates 38 miles uphill. And there's this thing that if only he had been disciplined and dedicated. If only. And sometimes it is hard to carry what you're given. But even so, there's still this sense, if only he'd been disciplined and dedicated. And that's the sense that we're left with. Yes, he achieved some things. But did he really begin to save Israel? Well, kind of, but not really. He killed about 2,200 Philistines, something in that kind of region. But did he really save Israel? Well, not really. The author goes on, chapter 17, verse 6, and repeats a phrase that is throughout the book of Judges, which is this. In those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as they saw fit. And that's something that kept repeating throughout the Judges, that the Judges were sent to set Israel on course, but because they had no king, the people just did whatever they wanted. They didn't listen. As soon as the judge went and died and there was a gap, that's it, we're off to do our own thing. And there's a very sad situation there. And as we read the book of Judges, and particularly the story of Samson, there's that sense of dedication and discipline. Two difficult words. Especially when things hurt. Especially when it's hard. And those words are often come across hard times, don't they? To be disciplined means you continue going whatever happens. It's something you set your path on. Yes, I'm going to do it no matter what. Whether it's good or bad. And sometimes it's easy, isn't it, to be disciplined. You know, you're going with the wind and you don't have to do much and you're just taken by the force behind you. But other times you feel like you're going against the wind and you've got to change position, you've got to tack, you've got to move, you've got to struggle. You've got to set the alarm clock. You've got to do the difficult things. And there's that sense of struggle. Same with dedication. But the story of Samson leaves us with this. God blesses us all. And as his church, God has blessed us. And we have the Holy Spirit in us today. That's the great thing. As we look back to the story of Samson, and we don't have that physical strength that Samson has, though sometimes God does that in amazing ways in believers. But he gives us other strength through the Holy Spirit. To follow him, to do his will. We see miracles. We see God answering prayer. But there's still a call to discipline and dedication. Faithfulness is the word. And you look through scripture and God is the one who's faithful. Man is the one who seems to be unfaithful. But even so, God wants us to be faithful. Wants us to mature in dedication, in discipline, and keep going on. No matter how hard the road is. Because at times we won't like it. At times it is difficult. But God wants to bring us to a place of blessing. He wants to free us and free the world around us. I read a passage this morning in church about Jesus reconciling all the world to himself, all of creation. And as Christians, we're called to introduce people to Jesus, that they be reconciled with him, but also that God is bringing a new heavens and a new earth, that he is doing a new thing. And we're playing a part in that as well, that all of the earth would be free from oppression, free from sin, free from Satan, free from death. And I don't want to look back on my life, and I'd encourage you, and I'm sure you don't want to look back on yours and say, I could have been more disciplined. I could have been more dedicated. If only. Wouldn't it be great to look back on life and say, look what God did. Not for our praise, not for our glory, but for his and for others. So the story of Samson, a man incredibly blessed. And we're a people incredibly blessed. Let's be dedicated. And let's be disciplined in serving him. I'm going to pray. And Heavenly Father, we think of Samson the man. We don't know what size he was. Maybe he was only 3 foot. But the determining factor of his strength was your spirit upon him. And Lord, we thank you that that same spirit that came upon Samson is within all of us who believe. And I pray, Lord, that if there's anyone here who doesn't know you, but wants to know you, pray that you touch them with your Holy Spirit now. Give us all that fresh sense of your presence with us, and that you are the Spirit of power. And Lord, we ask that with the Spirit of power, you'd help us to be disciplined and dedicated, that we might see the world freed by you working through us, not for our glory, but for yours, and for the blessing of this world. So we thank you, God, that you are with us. We thank you for the story of Samson, and we thank you for his repentance and change at the end, where he seemed to realise how he'd gone astray. And we thank you that even though we may make mistakes along the way, you still leave the door open for us to turn and rededicate ourselves and our discipline. Bless us, Lord, but help us to bless others and bless you in the way we live. Amen.